top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, October 26, 2018. And so, you know, again, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. And I want to just kind of, you know, some food for thought on Friday. So again, from the 1984 film, you know, and backing up, as I said earlier this week, is that excerpt, you know, the war is not meant to be won, it's meant to be continuous, is that, you know, that was drawn from the film as quoted by Michael Moore in Fahrenheit 9/11. And so there has been, that's been a meme of sorts that has circulated subsequent to Fahrenheit 9/11 in particular. And so you wonder, you know, I wonder, is that a honeypot? You always wonder about these kinds of things. I wonder anyway. So for whatever it's worth, that's my musing. But so speaking of that excerpt, in accordance to the principles of doublethink, it does not matter if the war is not real or when it is that victory is not possible. The war is not meant to be won. It is meant to be what? Continuous. And I was speaking in the context of Iran when I mentioned this earlier this week. My speculation is, you know, basically what's happened in Iran is very similar to what's happened in Afghanistan in many ways, I would say, or Iraq. We just haven't heard about it in the same – the reporting has been different. That's all. It's been very, very similar. And there's been an all-out assault, you know, British intrigue, Machiavellian deception and things for, I mean, gosh, how long? Hundreds of years? Anyway, again, that, you know, all goes back to the Ottoman Empire. The Balkanization efforts, you know, I mean, how far back do you want to go? 1740s and the unholy alliance between Ibn Abd al-Wahhab and the House of Saud, and Wahhabism becoming a very effective British social virus. You know, before there was Marxism, there was Wahhabism kind of thing. Anyway, continuing from the excerpt from the film, the essential act of modern warfare is what? The destruction of the produce. And, you know, you hear this, and this is what's happening. We all should go back and read 1984 again over the weekend, maybe three times. The essential act of modern warfare is the destruction of the produce of human labor. A hierarchical society is only possible on the basis of poverty and ignorance, which gets back to my point at the outset of the first hour and sort of clarifying what I said on Monday. In principle, the war effort is always planned to keep society what? On the brink of starvation. Is it working? I don't know. Ask the people in Yemen. The war is waged by the ruling group against its own subjects. What do I always say about how the so-called elected folks, and again, Lysander Spooner's words come to mind, a man is no less a slave because he is able to choose a master every term of years. When people allegedly vote for someone, and again, the national election pool tells you who you vote for before you vote, so that's kind of interesting, isn't it? It's a nice parlor trick, but that's all it is. Regardless of all of that, these people, these so-called elected representatives, often, especially at, you know, closer and closer to the federal level, they turn around and they attack their constituents. Why? It invokes Stockholm syndrome, trauma bonding, you know? Help me, kidnapper. Nobody wants to say I'm the idiot who voted for that guy. Everybody wants to save face and defend their kidnapper. Well, you know, he's just doing that because he has to, because he – no, he's your kidnapper. That's Stockholm syndrome talking. That's trauma bonding talking. Stop it. The war is waged by the ruling group against its own subjects, and its object is not victory over Eurasia or East Asia in this case, but to keep the very structure of society intact. What do you mean? Well, Webb Tarpley helps us. He helps us out by explaining the very real connection. There's Webb Tarpley and, you know, and then the film, helping us out in 1984. So here is the YouTube video titled "The War on Terror is a Fraud." It is not meant to be won. It is meant to be continuous. Go ahead, please.
The notion of a U.S. war on terrorism is simply a fraud. There is no war on terrorism. The Anglo-Americans are backing terrorists exactly when and where it suits them, from Chechnya to Cuba to other points around the world. This is a typical British strategy. You've got to know the name of Brigadier General Sir Frank Kitson. He was the British operations officer in Kenya at the time of the Mau Mau. And what Kitson saw, which has been known to commanders for centuries, millennia, if you've got an underground nationalist organization and you want to discredit them, you create your own parallel underground nationalist organization. You send them out. It's got to have the same name. It's got to have a false flag. You send them out, have it commit tremendous atrocities. Those will be blamed on the original, relatively benign group, and they'll be discredited, they'll be demonized, and you gain political advantage. He wrote a book about it called Low Intensity Operations. And the technique is called the technique of the counter gang or the pseudo gang. Just as Al-Qaeda, in the broader sense, is a pseudo gang or counter gang created by U.S. and British and Israeli intelligence. It's a counter gang against normal Arab nationalists or anybody with any positive agenda for reform or independence or development anywhere in the Arab world. They can always be labeled Al-Qaeda. The reductio ad absurdum of this is President Chavez of Venezuela, after giving Bush a hard time at various conferences and doing things to undermine the dollar, the neocons are now accusing President Chavez of being a member of Al-Qaeda. So you can see how easy it is to demonize somebody once you've got a good counter gang going. There's an oligarchical consensus in the United States, inspired by the neocons, inspired by Samuel Huntington and the rest of them, which is that without an enemy image, you cannot have an oligarchical society. Ultimately, that's the why, because if you look at this, you say, terrorism, endless war, why, who benefits? Those who benefit are the beneficiaries of the current system, financiers primarily. They feel that without the diversion of a war, they cannot maintain social relations, property relations, in the current form, and this they are determined to do. So they have manufactured, in a complete hysteria, a largely fictitious external enemy. You remember 1984 by George Orwell. Julia at one point says, I don't even think there is a war. It's just a fake to keep people under control. Orwell, I think, had a very good understanding of some of these psychological mechanisms.
Julia, do you think the resistance is real?
No. None of it's real.
There are thought criminals who maintain that the resistance is not real. Believe me, Winston, it is very real. Perhaps you are not familiar with how it operates.
I'm attentive to the news.
Indeed. And perhaps you imagine a huge network of conspirators prepared to commit any atrocity to demoralize and weaken the order of our society. The reality is infinitely more subtle. If Goldstein himself fell into the hands of the thought police, he could not give them a list of his agents. Such a list does not exist. They are not an organization in the sense we know. Nothing holds it together but an idea.
In accordance with the principles of doublethink, it does not matter if the war is not real, or when it is that victory is not possible. The war is not meant to be won. It is meant to be continuous. The essential act of modern warfare is the destruction of the produce of human labor. A hierarchical society is only possible on the basis of poverty and ignorance. The war is waged by the ruling group against its own subjects,
and his object is not victory over Eurasia or East Asia, but to keep the very structure of society intact.
There you go. Gosh, that sounds familiar. Doesn't that sound familiar? You know, Webb Tarpley connects to, is it, you know, is it life imitating art? Is it predictive programming? Gosh, it sure seems like that. But now it's in full swing, so we don't need to program folks anymore. You know, last but not least, and we'll go to the phones right after this. So now a word from the CIA's Milt Bearden to Dan Rather in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. If you're ready with that, go ahead, please.
Here now to elaborate and lend more context, the veteran and distinguished CIA officer we met in that report, Milt Bearden. He joins us from our Washington Bureau tonight. Thank you for being with us. What's at stake in the way we respond to these attacks, Mr. Bearden?
Dan, I think just about everything is at stake. There is probably no more important action that the United States will take in the last 40 or 50 years than how we handle retribution and retaliation for what happened yesterday in New York and in Washington.
Well, if the president should come to you and ask you, what do you think I should do, what would you tell him?
I'd tell him, first off, steady as she goes. The president has the most complete backing of the American people that I've seen in 40 years of public service. He's got a Congress that is totally behind him. He's not troubled with extraneous problems. He can focus, go steady as she goes, focus on finding out who did this thing yesterday and then dealing with it in a way that will not bring yet more troubles to us.
Well, it's pretty obvious that the judgment is coalescing around the president that it was Osama bin Laden.
I know we live in a country where we're often told that the first thing that comes to your mind, put it down, put the little mark in there. I feel slightly uncomfortable because I spent so many years wondering how the myth of Osama bin Laden got started. We have the Osama bin Laden who was the great war hero in Afghanistan. We have Osama bin Laden who was trained by CIA, funded and supported by CIA during 3 years of war. I was there at the same time bin Laden was there. He was not the great warrior that went and fought the Soviet Union to a standstill. CIA had nothing to do with him. I think that that mythological Osama bin Laden, never mind that he's an absolutely evil man, but the mythological Osama bin Laden causes me trouble, and I think maybe there is another answer out there. I'm not certain that I know what it is.
Well, Bill Bearden, again, you're one of our most experienced people with long experience in Afghanistan. What does your gut tell you about who's responsible for these attacks this week?
My gut tells me we don't know the answer yet. My gut tells me that I'm not going to go with the first answer that comes to mind, but there's quite possibly something else out there. Experts will jump on you and say it's Osama bin Laden's MO. He's the only one that is capable of this type of coordinated attack. My answer to them is he's the only one you know that's capable of this kind of attack. This was a tremendously sophisticated operation against the United States. More sophisticated than anybody would ever have ascribed to Osama bin Laden. I think we need to do a little homework. We need to appoint a team B that looks for somebody else. I'm just not convinced it was bin Laden.
You're doubtful. I want to come back to that. If you can ride with me just a moment, Milt Bearden.
Sure.
Dateline New York City, hundreds of people are now reported fleeing the area around the Empire State Building here in New York City. It's apparently in the wake of a bomb threat. Emergency officials are evacuating a 4-to-5-block area around that landmark, the Empire State Building. Now, things look calm from this viewpoint, and for that matter, on the street, things seem to be reasonably calm, but we'll pass that along to you. We'll be monitoring that situation, viewers, as we go along. Let me return now to our interview with Milt Bearden. There's no question in my mind that you're skeptical that Osama bin Laden, aided and abetted, or at least protected by the Taliban, should be the principal target of some large military operation. If I'm wrong about that, tell me now.
No, you're not wrong, Dan. I'm saying is, let me step back one step on this and say, Osama bin Laden is an evil man, and he's a component of the terrorism that we're dealing with across the board. All I'm saying is that I think Osama bin Laden has become the metaphor for the entire problem of terrorism involving Muslims with perceived grievances against the United States. And I think it would be wrong to say this is a one-size-fits-all operation and to go after bin Laden, because an operation as sophisticated as carried out yesterday was an operation that was concealed from us for months, probably, before it took place. It happened without essentially a hitch, except for one aircraft. And there is no reason to believe that these same people weren't capable of covering their tracks somehow on the way out. Now, I would go so far as to say that this group who was responsible for that, if they didn't have an Osama bin Laden out there, they'd invent one, because he's a terrific diversion for the rest of the world. Could I be wrong? Of course I could be wrong. It could be Osama bin Laden. If that's the case, it's an easy solution for the president.
Gosh, that... Milt Bearden not sticking to the official establishment narrative. Milt didn't get the memo, apparently, before he went in front of the cameras to discuss the situation with Dan Rather. Anyway, that's what happens in the early days, you know? The truth really rolls out like it did there, and then after the fact there's the clean team that comes up and sanitizes the narrative and feeds us the official, you know, fertilizer. Back to the phones. Paul in New Jersey, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris?
Paul.
Oh, you can hear me.
Good morning. Afternoon now in your neck of the woods, I guess.
Why, thank you. Hey, listen, you know, so you're not going to get a pair of wearable networked underpants? Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it wouldn't be so great. We all have our networked underpants, so we all know and have total 100% panoramic updates on what's going on in our underpants. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean,
who could possibly say no to that?
Exactly. Or, by the way, maybe they can be for... I could get a report on my lover's underpants to make sure, you know, she's...
Probably catfish.
Well kept. Right, she's not up to any hijinks.
So, now, before we go away from that, I need to see if I can find a couple of the stories that... The headlines, I mean, without even reading the stories, the last 24 hours in particular, the AI stories that I've seen... Let's see if I can find a couple of them. Just the stuff you can do. So how about, you know, this isn't AI, but, you know, The Verge. You can now send stickers to your friends in WhatsApp. Yay. That sounds kind of like what we're talking about. Oh, gosh. Now we're headed into a break. I'll find the others. There are like two or three others. I'll have those on the other side of the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy Clean is $285, shipping included, to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the Energy Cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the Energy Cleaner. Now, I offer, for me to you personally, a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Ah, darn, I can't find it. So the one story is you can finally send stickers to your friends in WhatsApp. There are some AI stories I saw today that are about as mindless, and I don't know, maybe I'll find them later, but it reminds me of what you're saying. And again, what Jaron Lanier wrote in You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto, how we dumb ourselves down to make technology seem smart. Anyway, go ahead, Paul.
Well, as I've said on your show before, you know, there's a lot of people out there just trying to come up with the newest gadget, and they're envious of Apple's iPhone and some of the other very, very few corporations that have hit a home run and have gotten, you know, a huge windfall in profits, but everybody's still looking for it. And the reality of it is we don't really need much, and we end up looking like fools with many of those things anyway. And in a sense, that's the genius of computers and the computer world, is because people are lost in these computers. It's almost like, you know, it's the rabbit hole itself. They go into the computer, and now all of a sudden they become out of shape, like, the, you know, so many of my son's friends, they're out of shape, they want to play video games all day long, they just pretty much want to live in the virtual reality.
Yeah.
And it's all one big waste of consciousness and time. Now, You know, a lot of people talk about dumbing down, but dumbing down is your choice. The libraries are open, and yet people like their comfort, their creature comforts, and, you know, this is the modern existential dilemma, you know, is what do we do with too much, with plenty, with comfort? How do we occupy our time? And how do we get meaning out of that? And do we have to always try to pursue more useless inventions, thinking that we'll either create a business for ourselves or, you know, we have our new gadget and that's going to make us happy?
Yeah.
So some people just need to learn, like, this is as good as it gets for now, and unless there's some, you know, nanotechnology breakthrough that could really work. But even then, if that technology comes about like any implantable, I wouldn't trust it. I'm not going to be the first guy to inject that stuff into me.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see how it works with other people and see what it does with them. I mean, I still haven't bought a cell phone yet because I'm waiting to really see how it's affected the people I know. And many of the people I know, it hasn't affected them in a good manner. It hasn't made them better. They're always like switching to their little devices when you're trying to talk to them.
Yeah.
And they're constantly caught up with their being connected. And there's something to be said for just being independent and not connected.
Absolutely.
And we should remember, too, though, if it generates more wealth, you know, if we're not connected, instead of buying these things and you're getting paid by employers expecting that you're going to buy these things and you just pocket the money, then it could actually raise your standard of living by not engaging in this. You know, not having a cell phone is going to save you hundreds of dollars. You know,
yeah.
Not having your Google app in your car or whatever it is, and you just have a regular road map and you don't need the constant wireless internet service, that's going to save you maybe 30, 40 bucks a month.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
These are all up to the individual. If you want to be networked, if you want to get that Vera chip. But to me, it's like, who would want it? And by the way, what a collection of petty information anyway, to have the internet monitoring all things. I mean, in a sense, that's part of the problem of the internet. It's, you know, a bunch of information, but most of it's useless and, you know, like redundant. You can probably figure it out by just common sense.
Yeah, and that was my point in looking for the stories. You know, it's most of it is not doing anything beneficial. That was a sentiment that Chamath Palihapitiya echoed in his Stanford School of Business talk. And he mentioned that, you know, Silicon Valley is littered with worthless startups that people are throwing millions of dollars in venture capital at. It's the same thing that Jaron Lanier talked about in that section titled Silicon Juvenilia. And, you know, it is a... Gosh, what do you call it? Not an ideology, but a not a trend, but something like that. And you know, it has a direction. It has a momentum, and most of that stuff, like
If you let me hold, there's one other comment I'd like to make after the break.
Sure, stick around, folks. We'll be right back after the short break. Phone lines are open.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Three salient excerpts from Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, from last to first, because they're relevant. Silicon Juvenilia from Future Humors chapter. It's worth repeating obvious truths when huge swarms of people somehow are able to remain oblivious. This is why I feel the need to point out the most obvious overall aspect of digital culture. It is comprised of wave after wave of juvenilia. And before I continue, remember Santayana's intimation what is the context of the paraphrasing that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it? Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve, no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. So, digital culture is comprised of wave after wave of juvenilia. See a connection there? Anybody? And so he talks more about that, but he says at the end of the pursuit of technological sophistication appears to lie a playhouse in which humankind regresses to nursery school. There's more. I've read it in the past, but leave it to the listener to consider. And then the Turing test cuts both ways, that section of what is a person. The Turing test cuts both ways. You can't tell if a machine has gotten smarter or if you've just lowered your own standards. Well, if in a in a nursery school, it kind of lends itself to that, doesn't it? To such a degree that machines seem smart. If you can have a conversation with a simulated person presented by an AI program, can you tell how far you've let your sense of personhood degrade in order to make the illusion work for you? People degrade themselves in order to make machines seem smart all the time. We've repeatedly demonstrated our species' bottomless ability to lower our standards to make information technology look good. Every instance of intelligence in a machine is ambiguous. This is a guy who is an authority, a subject matter authority. Jaron Lanier. And last but not least, Chapter 2, An Apocalypse of Self-Abdication. Actually, this is still the What is a Person section, excuse me, not chapter. But last but not least, he writes, if you believe the rapture is here is the big problem and how this is sort of causing all of these trends to move in a particular direction. It's not just the juvenilia. It's not just all of that. But what is the trend of all of this? And he writes, if you believe the rapture is imminent, fixing the problems of this life might not be your greatest priority. You might even be eager to embrace wars and tolerate poverty and disease in others to bring about the conditions that could prod the rapture into being. In the same way, if you believe the singularity is coming soon, you might cease to design technology to serve humans and prepare instead to for the grand events it will bring. And I see that happening very clearly. Anyway, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, just one last remark is, because I was discussing about the uselessness of these inventions and
yeah.
The thought that I want to wear wearable network clothing. And so what's that going to do for me? Right?
Yeah.
Give me a readout that I was cold that day and should wear another networked shirt.
You can have your Wi-Fi shirt that tells you where the where your Wi-Fi signal is strong.
Exactly. It's so ridiculous. Like, I want to be a walking radar dish. But anyway, yeah. there was this fella in a Japanese engineer named Kenji Kawakami, and he invented the concept of Chindogu. And I urge people to look that up. And they're very, very funny inventions because they're absurd inventions. And again, they're trying to deal with little petty problems of common day inconveniences. And yet he comes up with these ridiculous inventions to address these very, tiny, petty little disturbances in common life about having wet shoes and things like that. And through the use of Chindogu, and I urge people to look it up for a good laugh, he makes fun of that in a sense, but he was trying to actually, I think, float some of these inventions, but they're funny and they're worthless, and you got to give the guy credit for the amusing nature of it, and that's exactly what Silicon Valley is trying to do, like you said, with the juvenilia. So this is not a new phenomenon.
No, and but it's interesting how the culture sort of lends itself to that, and you can see it, and it's more than just that too. I mean, I've talked about the fact that if people go. Go watch TCM, Turner Classic Movies, or one of those kinds of channels, and see that men look like men. Women look like women. I mean, look at Ingrid Bergman when she's 19 years old, 18, 19. She looks like a 30 or 35-year-old woman, what they call timeless beauty. And sure, there's more to that story, but, men look like men. Women look like women. And now, what's that show with what's his name? From Friends, I can't think of his name or his name on Friends. Yeah, but he still looks like a kid with salty gray hair, and they all look like children now. And I think it's sort of emblematic of the cultural phenomenon that we're talking about. So anyway, again, that's sort of an anecdotal aside, but whatever.
Yeah, just in a sense, we're degraded and becoming little servants of the lifestyle of being hooked to the internet.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the Wall-E sort of scenario, you know, the movie Wall-E, where people are just fat, you know, boneless chickens on a boneless chicken ranch floating around in floating chairs with a screen in front of their face and a soft drink in their, you know, straw to their lips.
Yeah, and it's very sad because this is happening to many of my the friends of my son at school because of bad parenting. And actually just parents who don't want to parent and don't want to engage their kids and don't have the fortitude to just, you know, like take them away from their screen time and throw them outside with a ball, you know, or tell them to go wander around out in the woods.
That's child abuse, though.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, it's really, really bad. I know these kids.
I know.
And they have no physical strength whatsoever.
Yeah.
And the schools are enabling it. And some of them seem like they're destined to go straight from high school to Social Security because they're going to be, you know, borderline autistic, Ritalin addled, and absolutely dysfunctional and obese, and are going to be unfit for the workforce, let alone the military, which, of course, we don't want. It's tragic, yeah.
It sure is.
And this is,
you know,
result of
you can't see it, and so is it really happening? All the endocrine disrupting, estrogen leaching, you know, testosterone depleting stuff, you know, that corresponds to what you're saying. You can't see it with your eyes, so maybe it's not really happening. Except it's pretty obvious,
right? Well, and, if you want testosterone, do some push-ups, right?
Yeah.
You'll
and the studies that have been done over the years, you know, whether it's food or the electropollution or glyphosate, or, you know, it has a generational, accumulative, and even a generational effect. So, again, we can see it if we just pause for a second and reflect.
Yeah, or go on the internet to look it up.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
All right, sure you wear your Wi-Fi shirt so that you can get a good strong signal.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Paul. Real quick, and then back to the phone. So, you know, we play the clip of Milt Bearden. Speaking of Milt Bearden, Bin Laden, fake boogeymen, and such. Remember that article by Norm Dixon over at Green Left Weekly? I always mention the article published September 18, 2001, just 1 week after 9/11. It is, I'm telling you, it's one of the best articles that should circulate far and wide. Speaking of that article, there was this excerpt in it. Milt Bearden, the CIA's station chief in Pakistan from 86 to 89, admitted to the January 24, 2000. See, we get this far along and people go, oh my goodness, how could anyone have known? Gary Webb said exactly what was coming. He said, you know, Jonathan Quitney wrote a book, Endless Enemies, Making of an Unfriendly World. And he said, you know, when you go around the world shooting people with American guns and American bullets, you have a tendency to make enemies. Anyway, and that was 1998. And there's more. Anyway, Milt Bearden, the CIA station chief in Pakistan from 86 to 89, admitted to the January 24, 2000 New Yorker that while he never personally met Bin Laden, did I know that he was out there? Yes, I did. Guys like Bin Laden were bringing, listen to this, $20 to $25 million a month from other Saudis and Gulf Arabs to underwrite the war. And that's a lot of money. It's an extra $200 to $300 million a year. And this is what Bin Laden did. I was going to continue, you know, backing up from the section between 1978, from the point in the article between 1978 in 1992 through the Made in the USA and the Bin Laden section, stopping perhaps at the Tom Carew paragraph, or perhaps, you know, continuing on and concluding with the his assets were frozen. You know, the story of Bin Laden. Remember, I mentioned the LA Times article by Robin Wright that Gary Webb referred to in that C-SPAN Washington Journal interview. $1 million fortune. Bin Laden, you know, left the King Abdulaziz School of Economics and Management to, well, be recruited by the CIA to create the Mujahideen and al-Qaeda. But, you know, they talk about this fortune, and Norm Dixon points out that his assets were frozen. So it was actually this other funny money that Milt Bearden was talking about. Yeah, but who's Milt Bearden? I mean, what does he know? He was just there when Bin Laden was there, right? And from Bearden's Wikipedia entry, Bearden appeared several times in the BBC documentary by Adam Curtis called The Power of Nightmares, where he talked about his involvement with the Mujahideen, the Afghan Arabs, and how he was assigned to the role by William Casey. William Casey. Oh, yeah, that William Casey. Anyway. So what did William Casey say? That William Casey? You know, the William Casey that Barbara Honegger said, yeah, I was there. He really did say, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false, which seems to echo what Ralph McGahee said, doesn't it? I digress. There's more. Actually, last thing. This is the parenthetical aside I was going to mention. Sears, Kmart, etc. Edward Scott, Eddie Lampert, you know, ESL Investments. This was on Wikipedia yesterday. I haven't looked to see if it's still there. How long do you suppose until this line evaporates from Wikipedia? Lampert graduated from Yale University in 1984, BA Economics summa cum laude, where he was a member of Skull and Bones and Phi Beta Kappa. Imagine that. I'm pretty sure Eddie Lampert will go scot-free, and you know, the American public will be left holding the bag. He'll loot and pillage and do the corporate raiding that he does, that all of these guys are doing, and you know, won't even get a slap on the wrist, which again calls to mind Friedrich Bastiat, economic sophisms, when plunder becomes a way of life for a death cult, a group of death cult ideologues. Oh, I'm sorry, a group of men in a society, because Skull and Bones, you know, Jolly Roger. Over the course of time, they create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. Oh, man, did you see what I did? Oh, yeah? Watch this. Anyway, I digress. Back to the phones. Renee in North Carolina, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, came to give kudos. You know how I love it when you drag stuff out the Patriot memory hole, like Webster Tarpley.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, too. I remember, too, in the past. I think he's, I can see his face in my mind, but I can't remember his name. They used to have a Native American on who would remind us what they did to us, they're going to do to you.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of things that have been, like Webster Tarpley. Yeah, and I understand, like you say, he's linked a lot to that Lyndon LaRouche organization. What is it? Something like American Intelligence Review. And I remember Bill Cooper saying, he said, look, I differ with them politically. He said, but every time I'm researching something, I find that their research and my research comes to the same end. So he had a lot of respect for them despite his political difference, okay? And this is just what I know people who like the new kind of I hate to say this, but kind of Republican propagandist hack turn that so much of Patriot Radio has taken. And like I say, I call and talk to you because I have respect for you, because I really do think you are smarter and more honest than a lot of the turns we have seen in other places. I'm trying to put that as delicately as I can.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's why a lot of times I can say I have to go listen, because I feel so many people have kind of dropped the stuff from the past that was so wonderful, and I have to go to the left to hear it, you know. And so, like I say, like a lot of his talks are kind of dry. Chris Hedges, socialist, but he's on about three clips of Jimmy Dore where he seemed a little more relaxed and kind of funny that are on YouTube with Chris Hedges and Jimmy Dore. So the thing is, I don't like all this divisiveness that this has turned into. I remember the Ron Paul days when it was much more polite, smart, and there was a lot more unity. And I see the change, and I don't like it.
I agree. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
A few weeks after Parker made his statement, you have this guy, whose name I'm probably going to butcher, unfortunately, Chamath Palihapitiya? Does that sound right? Palihapitiya. He worked on Facebook from 2005 to 2011 and ended up with the title Vice President of User Growth. And he came out after Sean Parker came out and he doubled down on what Parker said, saying, quote, "I think we've created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works." Direct quote.
I feel tremendous guilt. I think we all knew in the back of our minds, even though we feigned this whole line of like there probably aren't any really bad unintended consequences, I think in the back deep, deep recesses of our minds, we kind of knew something bad could happen. But I think the way we defined it was not like this. It literally is a point now where I think we have created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. That is truly where we are.
But hold on, we gotta finish listening to this guy.
The short-term dopamine-driven...
Now, but everyone should. That's the True Stream Media video published back in May. They admitted social media is programming us. So how does this happen? How does what Renee was talking about happen? How does this polarization, this, you know, identity politics, balkanization, tribalism? Well, this is a big way. It's the weaponization of technology, social media in particular, and America, you're being suicided. So stop. Paul in New Jersey and I disagree on some pretty fundamental stuff, yet we have civil discourse. It was pleasant. Did you hear that, folks? It was a great conversation that Paul and I had. The less we're on social media, the more we're actually talking to one another, the more we're able to engage in meaningful dialogue, and the less inclined we are to have these anonymous tiffs. What do you think, Renee?
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I just, people, you know, it reminds me of kind of Plato's The Cave, what I see going on now.
The allegory of the cave?
Yeah. It's like, it used to not be so much like this. It's like, you know, I'll hear some people say, oh, I never look at that other stuff. I never do. It's like, well, if you don't look at it, how do you know maybe that you're okay? If you stay in the Republican cave all the time, watching the shadows on the wall, how do you know, unless you go outside and look, that might not be reality? That, you
another
know, some
great
of it may
example,
be true, but some not true.
Another great example. Another great example is the video clip that the Red Elephants did that Larry sent to me today, about, you know, how every administration has basically separated immigrant parents from immigrant children. You know, Clinton, Bush, Obama, now Trump, and it's nothing new. And so, like Alan Watts says, you know, basically people have no recollection of history. Or everything is, you know, a moral relativist stew, which is a sort of redundant oxymoron. But how does it happen? Well, here's a perfect example. And, you know, you see this happen. You think of Orwell's 1984. You see a situation where with artificial intelligence, the bureaucrat of the day could, you know, stand up and say something that's contradictory to what he said yesterday, and someone will say, but yesterday you said this, and he says, you know, talking into his cuff, no, I didn't say that, AI, scrub that, hey Google, scrub that for me, and it's gone. You know, that's where we are, and people will believe him in Orwellian fashion, and that guy probably get unpersoned. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. Thank you, Renee. Thanks, John, Fred, Paul. You too, Renee. Folks, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. And as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.